The book of Matthew, and we're going to look at chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Was praying and thinking on what God would have me to speak on this morning. And normally, as we were in the building before we went to our drive-in services, I was really just preaching through a book. I was preaching through 1 Timothy, and then I chose 2 Timothy, and we were just preaching through those books. But then as we went to the drive-in service, I thought, well, you know, it's not really practical to preach through a book during a drive-in service. I wanted to go ahead and just kind of deal with topics that we were going through as a community, as a body of believers. And so although I will get back to preaching through the books, God still laid some things in my heart that I'd like to discover and deal with over these next couple of weeks. So this morning's message is taken out of the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 25, and verse number 14 through 30, verses 14 to 30, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now that phrase, kingdom of heaven, when Christ used it in form of a parable, is referring to Christianity. So you could say Christianity is like a man who had a bunch of servants and he called them together to give them some news. Christianity, in this life, on this earth, how should it look? Christ illustrates how Christianity ought to look through a series of parables and stories, and so we find one here. In verse number 15, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one. Now, when we use the word talent, we often use it in reference to an ability. So, man, that guy's really talented, really good at basketball. Oh, they're so talented at soccer or volleyball. This is not the case here. This man did not give abilities to his servants. Talent was the phrase used for money in the first century. So he gave them various amounts of money. The first one, he gave five. To another one, he gave a little less. To the last one, he just gave one. So three servants that we find here. And he says, every man according to his several abilities. So the first one, he must have said, hey, you know, you've proven yourself to be able to handle more, so I'm going to give you more, five. The other one, well, you know, maybe you're new, you haven't worked for me as long, you haven't gained my trust as much, so I'm just going to give you two. The last one, maybe he's not really trustworthy, and we find that he doesn't really know what he's doing with his talent, but God still gives him the bare minimum. Even though this guy is not a really sharp servant, even though he's not a really go-getter, even though he doesn't have a lot of zeal, God says, I'm still going to give you one. I still want to see what you can do with the bare minimum here of money that I want you to use. And so verse 16, then he that had received the five talents, verse 15, the master goes on his way, took his journey. Verse 16, he that received the five went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. That doesn't mean that he did it right away immediately, but over time, he did some trading, he took what was given to him, he invested it, and he turned what he was given into more. Now, the one with two did the same thing, took what he was given and turned it into more. There was only one servant who took what he was given and did nothing with it. In fact, he hid it. Now, when the master returns, we're going to skip some verses here. The master returns, we're told in verse 18 that the guy received it, dug a hole, and hid his money. The master returns and is not too pleased with the last servant. So the first two, he says, what did you do with the talents? The first one says, well, I took the five, I turned it into five more. The master says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, enter into the joy of the Lord. So you did good, and now here's your reward. The second one comes, what did you do with the two? I took it and turned it into four. Same exact response is given. Now, wouldn't you think that if one servant took five, turned into five, and basically made five talents for his master, that the master might give a higher reward or a bigger blessing to the one that turned two into four? But we don't find that. We find that both of them took what they were given and doubled it. Now, the one ended up with more because the one was given more. But both of them were committed, faithful followers to their master, and both of them received the same compliment. Well done, enter into the joy of the Lord. It is the third servant who unfortunately didn't do his job as a follower of Christ. And we find in verse number 25, he doesn't do well. He says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So what did you do with your talent? He says, well, I was scared. I was scared that I might do something wrong with it. So rather than do something wrong with it, I did nothing with it. Fear kept this man, this servant, from following Christ, from serving Christ. I was afraid I might mess up. Now, you can understand this. Many of you, you've had children or have children still in the home. And so we get the idea. A child, scared of trying something new. Why? Because if they try something new and mess up, oh, what will my mom or dad say? You know, I'll lose their approval. I'll look stupid. So a lot of children are scared of trying something new. But it's not just children, is it? A lot of children become adults, and they're still scared of trying something new. Oh, I'm scared of branching out, trying a new job, going to a new place, going to a new church. I'm scared of how I'll be treated. I'm scared of what they'll say to me. I'm scared of what might happen while I'm there. I'm scared of trying a new career because will I fail in that career? And so fear keeps us from trying new things. Fear keeps us from doing great things. The first two servants weren't afraid. They took what they were given and invested it. The last servant, the third servant, wasted what he had out of fear. So what kind of Christ follower are you today? By the way, Christ is not pleased. And Christ, this master is representative or illustrative of Christ. This master is not pleased. And he says in verse 26, he calls him wicked. And he says, if you knew that I was looking for more, you should have done more. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury, with interest. He said, the bare minimum, instead of digging a hole and burying it, you could have at least invested it into a bank or some type of growing investment where interest would have been received at the minimum. But burying it in a hole does me no good. So, what kind of Christ follower are you today? Are you one that invests your life for the kingdom of God? Or are you one that's wasting your life for the kingdom of God? And that's my two points this morning, invested or wasted. Because folks, every one of us has purpose, which is the title of this morning's message, purpose. We all have purpose. Now, unfortunately, our purpose isn't always God's purpose, right? So if I was to ask you what your purpose is, well, my purpose is to raise my kids. That's great. So we're kind of getting biblical here. God does say, train up your kids, raise your kids, and do so in the admonition of the Lord. But if you just say, well, my purpose is to raise my kid to be good citizens, all right, well, yeah, that's still a good thing. God wants Christians to be good citizens, but is that the end game for a Christian? Well, my purpose for me raising my kids is to be warriors for Christ. For me as a pastor, and it's not just because I'm a pastor, it's because I'm a Christian. The purpose for me in raising my kids is to raise up a generation of children who love, follow, and serve their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's my purpose. Not just to help them get older and survive childhood and to be healthy enough to move on to adulthood. That's not my purpose for raising kids. So, well, my purpose is to have a job and put food on the table. Okay, so again, you know the Bible says a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So I get it. That's a good purpose, but is that the end purpose? All you want to do is get a job to get money, to get food, to live this life, to survive only? That's not really the purpose. The purpose for a believer of Christ is to love their neighbor. And who better to love than your family? Putting food on the table is just one way to show love. Showing love to your family is more than just providing for their needs. And if your job is keeping you away from your family where all you do is feed them, are you truly loving them? And when you go to the workplace to get money, are you only there to get money or are you there while you're there to love them while you're receiving the pay for your hard work? You see, for a Christian, we can have purpose because we're alive, but to what extent, how deep is your purpose going in your walk with Christ? For some people, their purpose has nothing to do with God. For some, their purpose is, well, I just want to be happy. Where in the Bible does it say that's why we're alive? Yeah, God does want to offer you joy. God wants to offer you peace, but nowhere in Scripture does it say your purpose is to be happy. That's not why we live. In fact, the closest you could get is to say your purpose is to make God happy, to please Him. And as we please God, and as we fulfill that purpose, God will then return the joy of the Lord to us in His will and time. But our purpose in this life cannot be, I just want to be happy. How about this? My purpose is to follow my dreams. How about this? My purpose is to follow God's dreams. God, you give me your dreams, instill them in my heart, and I want to follow those dreams. So folks, what is your purpose? We've all got it. But was your purpose given to you by God? Or was your purpose snatched somewhere out of the earth because you saw something shiny and you wanted it, and now that's the purpose for your life? Is your purpose something you can find in God's word and say, yes, this is what I'm doing. God's word gave me this purpose. Or is your purpose something found in your own heart? Oh, this is something I really want, something I really like. Since I was a child, I've wanted this, and so I'm fighting for that. What's your purpose? Jesus Christ, our Master, has gone away for a short time, is in heaven with God the Father. And he has left us on this earth with a purpose, and he has given us talents. Now, the talents he's given us hasn't given us money necessarily, but the money is representative of things that God has put on our shoulders, responsibilities. And he says, what are you going to do with these responsibilities while I'm God? God is going to return. And when he returns, we are going to answer to God with what we did with those responsibilities God gave us. And will you have to say to God, God, I wasted them. I buried them because I was too scared to do something with those responsibilities. I was too scared to do something with my life that really honored you. Or will you be the servant that God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You took what I gave you and turned it into something more. Now, let me explain. Turning what you have into something more is not enough. It has to be something more that you give God. Because if you take what God gave you, turn it into something more, and spend it on yourself, then you have nothing left to give God when he returns. God doesn't want you to turn your life into more for you. God wants you to turn your life into more for him. So how about that? Where are you at in your journey? As a servant of God, turning what he's given you into more for him. Number one, invested. So looking at these first two servants, here's what I see, letter A. Instead of asking God to give you more, seek to offer him more. You know, as a spiritual leader, as a pastor, I could say, God, you know, I want a bigger church. God, I want a bigger building. God, I want a bigger Christian school. And that's not what I asked God, though. And if it was, would you think well of me? If I was up here praying and saying, God, you know, I just wish you'd give us more people. God, I wish we'd have a nicer building. You know, God, I pray for Mid-State Christian Academy that it would double in size this year. What would you think of me as a pastor if all I constantly prayed was for more, more, more? Well, some of you say, well, if you're praying to double the school, I'm out of here because it's hard enough as it is with what we've got, right? I get that. Let me just tell you this. As a Christian, it's not our job to say, God, give me more, give me more, give me more. Oh, God, you know, thank you for this house. Can we have a nicer house next year? God, thank you for this car. Can we, flip this car and get a nicer car next year? You know, God, thank you for this job. I'd really like to move up the ladder and get a better job next year. I'm not saying that we can't bring our wants and desires to him, but if our prayer life is constantly saying, God, give me more, we've got it all wrong. I see three servants, and of the two, God gave five and God gave two. Neither of the servants said, hey, can I have more? What they said is, what can I give God in return with what he's already given me? You also notice the Bible tells us that God, Jesus Christ, the Master, gave these talents to these individuals in reference to their abilities, to their several abilities, what they were could be entrusted with. So if you want more, don't ask for it. Do something with what you've got, and then here's what's going to happen. God's going to give you more. And that's almost kind of a scary thought, because some of you think, man, I'm barely hanging on with what I've got. And if I do well with this, you're saying God will give me more? Look, it's not that God's going to just automatically give you more because you did something well. God recognizes what you're capable of. And as you grow in your spiritual walk, and as you get stronger, and as you do more with what you've got, and as God recognizes you can handle more, God will give you more. But there's sometimes God has his own reasons where he has not given you more. And God's not going to give you more. And God just wants to say to you, give me more with what I've already given you. Instead of worrying about how much you do or do not have, consider how much you are or are not giving. So how about it, believer? How about it, follower of Christ? What are you giving God right now? If I was to give you a blank sheet of paper and a pen, I would say to write down the things in your life that are fully focused on God, that the purpose of these things are for God, and you could show, if asked, how they are furthering God's kingdom. How big would your list be? So some of you would put down your kids, and you should. You'd put kids, okay. Prove to me, show me, help me understand how when you write kids on that paper, how is that furthering God's kingdom? Well, I'm raising my kids to love the Lord. All right, great. I'm raising my kids to be leaders amongst their friends. Great. I'm raising my kids to understand the Bible. Great. Then I can understand, yes, kids are on that list. But just because you have kids doesn't mean you're raising them for the kingdom of God. That takes purpose. You got to be proactive. It doesn't just happen naturally. Well, you know, I go to church. Well, going to church doesn't mean that you are living a life that furthers God's kingdom. In fact, if you say, I go to church, right away a red flag pops up in my mind. You know why? Because the church is not somewhere you go to. The church is what? What is the church? Something you are. That's right, Sam. The church is something you are. So if you put on the list, well, I'm furthering God's kingdom by going to church, I would say right away, you know what? Probably not. Now, maybe it's just semantics. Maybe you don't understand what you're saying. But church is not a place you go to. Church is a place you become. If you want to further God's kingdom, don't go to church. Be the church. If you want to further God's kingdom, don't just sit and listen to a message. Be the message. Be the message to your friends, to your family, to others who are at the worship service. Be the message on Sunday. Be the message Monday through Saturday. Live the message. Because what does James say? Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Going and listening is the very first basic of steps. And if you've been saved long enough, you got to move from listening to doing. You got to move from going to being. And so don't put church on that list unless you are the church, not just because you go to church. You see where I'm going? A life that furthers God's kingdom goes deeper than just the surface of I have kids and I go to church. No, that does not mean you're furthering God's kingdom because you have kids and you go to church. You must be the church, and you must raise children to love and serve God. We could talk about jobs, we could talk about friends, but you get the idea, folks. God is giving you responsibility. What are you doing with that responsibility? Stop asking for more from God and start asking God how you can give more back to him. God, how can I give you more as your church? How can I be involved at your church, with your church? God, how can I give more to you with my children? I was a youth pastor for many years, and it broke my heart when children became 18, 19. As a youth pastor, I'd encourage them, you know, Christian college. If not Christian college, at least consider full-time ministry in some way. If not full-time ministry, consider the idea that no matter what God calls you to, you will be a dedicated Christian. But you know what I heard from parents more often than not? My child must stay local because I'm too scared that they would go off and I'd never see them again. That they'll marry someone from Idaho and then live in Idaho, and I don't want that. Right? Not because anything's wrong with Idaho, but Idaho's over there and we're over here. So parents are so scared of their kids moving away that they literally keep their children close, even if it's against God's will, because the parent doesn't want to lose the relationship with their child. For me as a parent, now I'm not going to say it's easy, but as a parent, I'll be the first one to encourage my children to leave if that's what God wants them to do. I'll be the first one to encourage them toward a Christian college because I would hope and believe that's what God wants them to do. I'll be the first one to encourage a full-time ministry knowing that very likely for my daughters, full-time ministry means they won't be near my wife and I. I'll be the first one to encourage them that because they are better off with Christ than with me for the rest of their lives. So how deep are you going to go in your purpose with what God has given you, the responsibility you have? How much will you give it back to God? Letter B. Not all are given equal responsibility, but all are called to equal commitment. Look, someone has five, you have two. Someone has more children, you have less children. Someone has more money, you have less money. Someone has a bigger house, you have less of a house. These things do not matter. How much you have does not matter. What you're doing with what you have, that's what matters. I have seen families more often than not. Not every time, it's not across the board, but I've seen families with less are often happier, more joyful, serving God more faithfully than families with more. And I'm not going to say that's the case always, but to me, it's what I usually see. I usually see families who have a smaller house, less vehicle, and man, they're on fire for God. And I see families with lots of stuff, and the stuff gets in the way. I'm not saying you can't have stuff, but don't let it get in the way. And sometimes by asking for more, you are essentially asking for your own destruction. Because the more you get, the more it gets in the way. We are not all given the same amount of responsibility. But we are all called to the same equal amount of commitment. Are you fully committed to Christ with what he has given you, with what he has called you to? Are you fully committed to Christ? And then letter C. Everything we accomplish in this life must stand on the foundation of furthering God's kingdom. well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not well done, smart guy, you made a name for yourself, good job. It's the master saying, well done, you furthered my investment. It was my money that I gave you, you made more of my money, and you gave it back to me. Well done, you made me richer, this master says. Well done, you made me better off, this master says. And in the spiritual realm, we make God better off by furthering his kingdom, by spreading the gospel, by living the church, by being the church, by bringing people to him, which is the greatest thing we can bring to Christ, souls. Now, we can't save souls, but we can direct souls to the Savior. That's the greatest thing you can bring to God, souls. Your loved ones, even your strangers that God brings your way. That's the best thing you can bring them. So what are you doing with your life, folks? Everything we accomplish must be on the foundation of furthering God's kingdom. You know, there's a lot of people that go through their life trying to better themselves, trying to get better jobs, more money, trying to better their children's lives. I'm not saying it's wrong to get a good job. I'm not saying it's wrong to get more money. But it is not money first, God's kingdom next. And unfortunately for many, money first, God's kingdom last. Money is not the foundation for who we are and what we do. How about family? Is family the foundation? Everything I do and everything I am is on the foundation of family, my marriage and my children. And so every choice I make always goes back to, how does it affect my marriage? How does it affect my children? Because that's the foundation. What do you think? Sounds good, right? The world would probably say that's a good thing. Does the Bible teach that? No, because everything you decide to do is based off of the foundation of marriage, then your marriage controls your life, not Christ. If it's children, wow, now we're really in trouble, because now children control your life, not Christ. Well, my health, everything I do surrounds my health, you know, healthy choices, emotional, physical health. I want to make sure I'm a healthy person. And so all my choices, where I work, how I work, how much I work, my family, how I treat them, where we go, all founded on the health of our family. Is it healthy for our family to do these things? And yet that's not what I see in Scripture. I see in Scripture Jesus Christ telling his disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. It's not really physically healthy to carry a large burden through life. It can be tiring. It can be discouraging. But God says, do it anyways for me. So what's the foundation for everything we are? What's the foundation for everything we do? It is our relationship with Christ. When you do a new job, it needs to be reflective on foundation of Christ first. Every choice you make regarding your family lies squarely on the shoulders of the foundation of Christ first. This is the most important thing for a Christian, our relationship with Christ. Is it the most important to you? For these servants, they made their decision of taking what was given to them and returning more because they want to further the wealth of their master. That was their focus. What is your focus? Are you in this life for yourself? Or are you in this life for the master? Now, unfortunately, some of you say, yes, I am in this life for the master, but the master isn't Christ. The master is yourself. You are the master of your own life, and you are in this for yourself. The master is a friend who's probably not a good friend, could be a spouse. The master could possibly even be a boss. I mean, literally, like, your boss runs your life, both at work and out of work. I mean, the person just calls you all the time, directing you even outside of work. And this boss just controls your life. And you're living it for the master. It's just the wrong master. Folks, it's time to change the master to Christ. Let Christ be your master, the foundation for your life. Live for him. Don't be the second servant. I'm sorry, the third. Don't be the third servant, one who wastes their life. So we see here again in verse 25, the servant says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. I didn't lose it. It's still there. What you gave me is still there. Here it is, safe and sound. The master was not pleased. He says, I was afraid. I was afraid that I might do something that would be wrong and you would be upset with me. And the master says, wait a second. If you knew that about me, wouldn't you know I'd be upset that you did nothing? Some of you, followers of Christ, are afraid that if you become the church and start getting involved in the church, you might mess up and God would not be pleased with you. Let me just tell you right now, God's not pleased with the Christian who's not the church. Going to church doesn't make you the church. God is not pleased if you're not the church. Involved in church, living the life of a follower of Christ. That doesn't please God. Don't worry about if you mess up. God is faithful, God is merciful, God is forgiving. What you should be worried about is burying the responsibility God gave you because you're scared of how it might look if you mess up. So letter A, fear is not an excuse for apathy. What's apathy? Oh, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything. I'll just sit back and hope everything works out. Apathy is ignorance. Apathy is ignoring responsibility. Apathy is the young man sitting in his room playing video games all day while his room is messy and his parents say, clean your room. Okay, I will later. It never gets done. Apathy is the husband who's sitting at home watching a movie and that's all he does, watches Netflix all day, and the wife says, can you do this? I'll get to it later. Apathy is the mom whose children are going crazy and they need her. I'll get to you later. Apathy is ignoring your responsibility. And being afraid of the responsibility is not an excuse to ignore the responsibility. So what responsibility has God given you? He's probably given you more than one. Have you been ignoring it? Have you been ignoring your family, ignoring your marriage? Have you been ignoring your relationship with Christ? Have you been ignoring the path that God has given you? You know some choices God wants you to make, but you ignore it. You pretend it doesn't exist because you're scared of it. You're scared that if you have to deal with it, it's going to hurt. You're scared if you go down this road, it's going to cause you to give up something, so you pretend it's not there. Fear is not an excuse for apathy. This servant was afraid, and the master did not accept that excuse. Letter B, increasing your wealth is not the same as increasing God's kingdom. Just because you get more in this life doesn't mean you're giving more to God. Now, I'm not even talking about tithes and offerings. I'm not even talking about money putting in the offering plate. I'm talking about you personally. Just because your life is getting better doesn't mean God's kingdom is getting better. As God increases your life and as you do things for yourself more, ask yourself this question. As I increase, who else is increasing with me? As I am brought up, do I bring my spouse with me closer to Christ? Are my kids drawing closer to Christ? As I am bettering myself, who is joining me in this? And ultimately, is God's kingdom gaining as I go through life? Is God's kingdom gaining souls? Is God's kingdom gaining glory? Is God's kingdom gaining honor through the way I live my life, through my life? These servants, the first two, when they were done, said, here you go, God. The last one said, here's what you gave me. I did nothing with it. Wasted it. Increasing your wealth is not the same as increasing God's wealth. There's a lot of servants of God who bury the responsibility God gave them and take on a bunch of responsibilities God never intended. You know, I worked with a lot of people over the years. You know what I find is the human tendency, even for myself. I remember when I was a young man, youth pastor, same thing. I went through the same thing. I had to figure this out myself, that a lot of us, we get a job, and our boss, our supervisor says, okay, here's your job description. They give you a bunch of things that they want you to do. And just evaluate yourself in 6 months. You're probably very busy. But unless you've already learned this lesson, you know what you're probably busy with? You're probably busy with all the things you wanted to do. And your boss and supervisor said, did you accomplish these things? No, I did not. Well, why not? I've been busy. With what? With these things. And your boss says, well, that's not what I've asked you to do. Well, but I'm busy, so isn't that good? No, you do what I've asked you to do first. And then if you have time, you can do what you want. All right, how many parents to their kids? Well, what have you been doing all day? I've been busy. Doing what? Oh, doing the things I want. Yeah, but you didn't do the things I asked you first. Same in a marriage. Lots of marriages constantly struggling because marriages, spouses are busy, but they're busy doing what they want, not busy doing what their spouse needs them to do. It's the same with Christ. If you're going to be busy with something, don't be busy with your life. Don't be busy with your wants. Be busy with what God has given you. And if you don't know what that is, why don't you ask him, God, what responsibility have you given me? What do you want of me? I want to be busy with that. Now, there's very likely will be time left over. And that's when you invest in the things you want to do. But don't think just because you're busy that you're increasing God's kingdom. Don't think just because you're busy and because you're being busy, you're getting things done. Don't think that getting things done means you're getting things done for God's kingdom. If you are bearing the responsibility God gave you while increasing your own personal wealth, that's not getting God the job done for God. Invest God's responsibility first and foremost. And then finally, letter C, when we wasted God's gifts, we lose God's blessing. When we wasted God's gifts, we will lose his blessing. Here's what we find with the servant. In verse 28, take therefore the talent from him, this wicked servant who did nothing, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So the one who did nothing, take from them what I gave, and give it to the one who did something with what I gave them. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even which he hath. Now it could be in a room this size, it could be with people listening online, that some of you have already crossed that line. It could be that God has given you something you didn't do anything with, and so what do you think God did? He took it away. Whether it was a relationship, I'm not necessarily saying in death either. You know, God can take things away without having to end their life. Maybe you had a relationship, a connection with someone, and you didn't do what you should have, and now that connection's gone. Maybe it was a position in church. Maybe it was an opportunity you had within God's church. You didn't do anything with it, and now guess what? Someone else is doing something with it because you did not. Could it be you did not take the opportunity to connect and raise your children, and now someone else is? Don't worry, that's not the rapture, guys. That's the kids running around. It's all good. Could it be someone else is raising your children now because you did not? Could it be a teacher? Dare I say, even a friend of your kids is basically raising your kids? I mean, isn't that a scary thought? 15-year-olds raising 15-year-olds. Boy, that scares me. 10-year-olds raising 8-year-olds. That's scary, and yet it happens. Kids are being raised by kids because parents are not. Teens are being raised by teens because parents are not. And it's only after it's too late where you recognize, wow, what I had was taken from me because I did nothing with it. So folks, if that's the case and you're on that side of the line and what you had was taken from you, you're not dead yet. The journey is not over yet. The time right now is to repent. Say, God, I am sorry. I am sorry for the apathy that I showed towards the responsibility you gave my life. Give me another chance. And you know what? God is a God, a second, third, fourth, fifth, and infinity amount of chances. God will give you more chances, but God wants to recognize that you're repentant and you need that other chance. Are you ready? Say, God, give me another chance with my kids. God, give me another chance with my marriage. I'm ready to invest with the responsibility you gave me first and foremost. God, give me another chance with your church. I want to be the church. I don't want to lose that opportunity. God, give me another chance. Now, it's likely God will only give you one talent. I'm not God, and I don't know for sure what he'll do, but I highly doubt he's going to give you the 5 if you've already wasted it. God may then just give you the 1 and see what you do with that 1 again. Do something with it, folks, and then watch God give you another 1 and another 1. And then when you come to the end of this life, God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Stop wasting your opportunities, because you will lose your opportunities. Stop wasting your responsibilities. You will lose your responsibilities. Stop wasting your relationships. You will lose your relationships. Invest, invest, invest. Not with the idea of if I invest, I will get more. But invest with the mindset that the more I invest, the more I can give my God. Let's pray.